Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Evan Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's your favorite beverage?
Oh, man, I'd say Dr. Pepper.
Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, I know. It's bad. It's horrible. It's not good for you. You probably don't want to be drinking that on a daily basis, but man, I don't know.
It just keeps you going, huh?
Strong love for it for a long time.
What's your favorite place you've traveled?
Oh, man. Favorite place I've traveled probably was Bora Bora in the French Polynesian. It is just unbelievable. But I will have a side note in that. Nobody told me how expensive it was once you got there. Like average meal ticket was about $180 to $200 for breakfast and lunch, and dinner was like $300 to $400. So as a newlywed guy who didn't have a lot of money, we had to like ration snacks there. So it took away a little bit from the trip probably, but nevertheless, that place is absolutely beautiful. A straight screensaver.
So give us one story, and it sounds like this was like a honeymoon or what?
Yes, it was. Yeah, it was a honeymoon in April. I mean, right when we got there, we were just in complete shock of how everything was so beautiful. The water for miles is only like 4 or 5 feet deep, and it's super crystal clear. The fish aren't even scared of you. It's just kind of like nothing like what I've ever seen in Florida and the Keys, wherever. And we get in, and we go get lunch, and it's, you know, bring out the bill at the restaurant. I mean, at the hotel restaurant, and it's $180. We go off the restaurant. Or off the island, rather, and try to, like, get into locals. In the local was even more money. They don't have air conditioning. They don't have ice. It was just all these commodities that you're like, wow, like, I really didn't know how much I need these things. And and by about day three, I'm like, all right, look, it felt like I was in the military. I'm like, we got 3 Nutrigrain bars. And I'm telling you, this isn't going to last but a day and a half. So we're going to have to skip some lunches. Because we don't have enough money. And I wasn't about to ask my dad for money or my mom or anything like that. So I was like, you know, we're going to figure it out. And sure enough, we were able to make it at work and ration through a couple of lunches and lost a good bit of weight. So that's always a positive. But nevertheless, it was I wish some people would have said, hey, man, you probably want to check in. Like, conversion rate is real low there. And you're going to need about like $3,000 just to eat.
Well, that's good advice. So if we go to Bora Bora, put that, yeah. When you're doing your budget, as we all say, begin with the end in mind, that's helpful to know, right?
For sure.
So as the last question to get to know you in the construction arena, we like to call here on the art of construction. What's your favorite hobby or interest outside of the construction arena that I know you've grown up in?
Man, I grew up in construction entire life, and it was really mainly new construction. My dad was a home builder, and before that was in building materials.
So I got, but before we get in, what's your favorite thing outside of this? Something outside.
Oh, outside of construction. Yeah. Oh, okay. I thought you said.
We'll dive full in inside, but first we want to know about you, something outside.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Favorite thing outside of construction, hands down, would be basketball. Played in high school, a little bit in college, and still play actively in church league. So definitely big basketball fan. That's my number one thing to do for cardio activities.
Are you a college or NBA?
I am more college than I am NBA. I do enjoy NBA, but I am an advocate fan for college.
I'm the same way. I've grown up loving basketball, and wow. I have the we go to the Pac-12 basketball tournament in Vegas.
Oh, heck yeah.
I'm a big CU Buffs fan, and it's just so awesome to see the passion of. To me, that's the pinnacle. After that, it really changes when you see where LeBron's going to go next and who's going to win the next championship.
Yeah. I agree completely. Love college basketball. We go to March Madness every year. Me, my dad, and my brother, we make that like a little family trip every year.
Awesome. Well, cool. We got to know a little bit about Josh Downing. And I know you have a partner of Jason Horrock. Am I saying that right?
Horrock, yes, sir.
Jason Horrock, I apologize about that.
No, okay.
So we have Josh and Jason running Direct Movement, and I challenge everybody to go to their website, and there's an awesome video that is very different than most typical crusty contractors as far, it's a video about who they are in relationship building. So tell me about your backstory growing up in the art of construction, stuck in the construction arena, and talking about being relationship pros.
So kind of retouching on what I was talking about earlier, how I grew up in the construction industry with my dad, new construction home building, very, very mundane, where it's like, you know, you got 12 models, you can modify the models a little bit. It wasn't much excitement for me. I'm a big guy based off creativity. I love coming in, being excited, really passionate about changing the way things look. So sure enough, I kind of went on my journey throughout my dad's company and found myself starting to remodel little projects for a lot of realtors, doing little bathrooms and kitchen remodels. And I just thought that there was a need for somebody to come in and start building around these relationships rather than trying to focus on the bottom line. Obviously the bottom line is important, but for me, I felt that every contractor at the time out there, and this is about 09, 2010, 2011, they were just so focused on bringing out a yellow pad, a piece of paper and pencil, and you just telling them exactly what you want to do. They didn't put any input into it. They were very scared to talk pricing. They didn't want to, I mean, literally just very, very cut and dry. And I said, there's no relationship that's being built here. It's very, do what I tell you to do, and then you tell me how much it's going to cost. And I felt there was a lot of wasted time. You know, you could, contractors would go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, 7, 8, 10 estimate revisions. We don't do that. I'm like, look, I'm going to walk out there. The moment I meet you, I'm going to try to get to know you, know your family, look at who you are, where your friends are, you know, all this stuff, any sports that you like, start to immediately connect with you on a different level, and then know enough about you that I can meet whatever need needs to be met through construction. Because construction is always related to a need. There's a need for my family to grow, so I need a bigger house. There's a need for my kids to have a better place to bathe. They got 3 of them in 1 bathroom. I'm tired of cleaning it. So I need a bigger bathroom. There's always a need associated with construction. And so what I felt like, if I could come in and build that relationship, I could solve the need. If I solve the need, I solve their problem. And then it really, price is just a commodity towards it.
Awesome. And that's why we ask the speed round questions, to where now Josh and I have a connection, to where when I see him, I'm going to find out next is what is his favorite college team. And we're going to join that rivalry, to where if we ever meet up in March Madness.
No doubt. No doubt. I'm a big Alabama Crimson Tide fan. My dad was born and raised in Alabama. College basketball, we're coming up the ranks just a little bit. Got Colin Sexton last year. He obviously went to the NBA, so we kind of have to start over. But nevertheless, football, we've been a powerhouse and have been for a while, so that's obviously nice. I do enjoy college football about just as much as college basketball. But yes, Alabama Crimson Tide is my one.
So go Buffs, and I'm kind of in the same, you know, where we don't have a Bama one at the top and one climbing. We're both just trying to figure it out. But I bring that up is because that's what's so important, that we miss that, where I loved how you talk about the pad and going into crusty contractor mode of right into, you know, doing the needs analysis the old school way of, you know, just checking the boxes. And if you can build that relationship, and through the relationship, you find out what makes them tick. And that's where I always like to give credit where the relationship starts. And it's through Nick May. If you go back in the 100th episode, he has started a company and he's like, Devin, you and Josh really need to connect because you're cut from the same cloth and can help build a great story together. And that's what we're doing here today. So don't go right into, you know, price and bid wars. You got to do the needs analysis, but do it in a relationship base. And I love that. What is your kind of target market, and where, let's get into where your business, then I want to talk about some of the accolades, and you have several things that you've done. So where did you start? Where's your kind of market, and talk through some of your national recognition that you've got.
Sure. I would say our target market for our business right now, one is always ever changing. You know, when we started out, it was me, my partner's brother, and his bags were on. His brother was literally a helper, and we grew from that to just the past year, just under 7 million. So it's evolved as we've evolved. But I would say our target market now is really home remodeling. With about 25 to 26 in-house guys on our staff, we can perform about 80% of the work in-house. Anything that requires a license, obviously we have to use electricians, plumbers, mechanical guys, stuff like that. But I felt that if I could control more of the process, I can predict a better outcome. But right now, I've got to control about 80% of that process, which means there's only about a 20% of where I don't know, okay, is the painter going to show up, or, you know, is the electrician going to show up, you know, trying to modify those. So I would say if we get a whole house that we can remodel, that's really our bread and butter.
And what's your geographic area? Where's your...
Well, we stay mainly in Jacksonville, but we do a lot of work in Ponte Vedra. We most recently have been doing a lot of work in Fernandina Beach, which is about 45 to 50 minutes outside of Jacksonville. And then we've done a little bit in St. Augustine, but really bread and butter is centrally located in Jacksonville.
Cool. And so it talks about it on the video to where you grew up with your father who had a construction business, and Jason, you're... both of your fathers had a relationship, and that just kind of that was kind of an ironic situation where when you guys met, to where you're the one building the relationship and selling the story or learning and understanding to paint the picture. And then Jason's job is to execute that vision. Is that sure. kind of a fair where you guys are the yin and the yang of?
No, that's exactly right. Yeah, that's exactly right. And that's where I felt that we could be different than most companies out there, is that, you know, a two-headed approach. A lot of the contractors, I feel like, end up killing themselves because they're not sales guys. They're not relationship builders, but they're amazing carpenters, or they're amazing tilemen, or they're amazing, you know, go down the list of stuff that I've seen some of those guys. So being able to compare or be able to go side by side with a guy that's very good with his hands, I thought it would be just an absolute slam dunk. But yeah, our fathers, my dad worked at a, before he started building custom homes, he worked at a lumber yard. Builders First Source. It's a national.
That's where I started. My stepfather raised me, was UBC Home Lumber, and I spent the first 5 years into that world. Yep.
So he was a lumber yard salesman and climbed his way up to president. But at the time when he was a lumber salesman, his number one client was the framer, which is Jason's dad. But Jason's dad was literally his main go-to for years and years and years. And we kind of always knew of each other as kids, but we never really were able to like hang out. We just schedules didn't really align. And as we got older, I kept seeing him and he kept seeing me, and we were doing similar things, and finally just said, hey man, let's give a crack and go at it.
Cool. So how did you form that business relationship? How did that come together when you said, I'm going to do this and you're going to do that?
I would say for about 6 or 8 months, I was working for another construction company in town, and I had been actively seeking somebody to partner with. That had a general contracting license or a building contracting license. And I mean, I probably went through 7 guys. Each one was like, I don't know. Partnerships are tough. They're hard. And I finally came to Jason, was like, dude, if you got a general, you got your license, right? He's like, yeah. I was like, dude, we need to partner up and make this thing happen. Even then, it was like, man, partnerships are tough. 2 months later, he hits me up, and it's the middle of summer, like July 2014. He says, hey man, I'm ready to go. Like, I want to do this thing. Let's go blow this thing up. I mean, 30 days later, I put $50 in a Chase bank account. We opened it up, and we literally started going after it. I mean, anything I could. I got connected early on Thumbtack, used Thumbtack to leverage those contacts on that site, and the rest was just kind of history.
What has been the biggest aha success or thing that you guys, that as you guys were building this business, what's the biggest aha moment success and the biggest ouch that hurt?
I would say it's kind of the same answer. At one point in time, about a year and a half ago now, I want to say, we had Jacksonville fully up and running, about 15 guys here, 3-4 trucks on the road. We had a subdivision of our company in Orlando, 2 guys down there, truck on the road, and we had a franchise, our first franchise ever. I didn't even know how or what that looked like, in Pittsburgh, and that was up and running with 3 guys up there. So At one time, I mean, I was sitting there just laughing, going, how is this even possible? We're not even 3 years in business. We've got 3 locations. All of them are very profitable, crushing it. And then about another 6-8 months into the future, and there just wasn't enough management on each one. And we ended up really severing a bunch of bad jobs in those areas because I couldn't put the attention to detail, and neither could my partner, that what we had established in Jacksonville, it wasn't able to be truly duplicated in those areas. So we eventually had to kind of scale back and say, we're not ready for this. Let's really focus in back in Jacksonville. Shut the Orlando one down. The guy in Pittsburgh, he's still going up there, but it's more of this kind of a 1 or 2 project deal now, not really trying to scale it anymore. And I would say that was like the kind of the good and the wow, you know what, we're not this big yet. This is too fast, too soon, and we need to kind of scale it back.
Cool. Cool. I'm really proud of you for saying that, because you learn by doing, and I'm in the same boat. I'm actually doing my core value speech tonight to where my company double revenue in multiple locations. And when you go to multiple locations in different cities, make sure you have your systems at home base dialed in before you do that. Whether, you know, and you got to start from the E-Myth Revisited with Michael Gerber and build that out. But before you really go, you better make it your own and really understand that. Because the team really has to be one team, in my point of view. So the whole, if you're going to franchise, even if you're never going to franchise, you really need to do that. So I really appreciate you saying that you went for it, you learned from it, and said you're not ready. And through that process, you won all these national awards from Entrepreneur Magazine, CNBC, Thumbtack, Home Advisor, all those things. That stuff is great, but those don't pay the bills, right? And you got to have a leader running that location that – and typically when I find this out, for me, it was me looking myself in the mirror. When things weren't working right, you can play the blame game, but you better look at yourself and your leadership team before you go there. What would you kind of expound upon on that with my statement of kind of listening to, and I appreciate you saying that.
No, you're exactly right. I mean, everything that you said, it comes down to the systems. And we always have been two young guys that were very aggressive, and we like to wing a lot of things. We would rather jump into the $3 million job that we've never done to then get slapped on the wrist as we go along through it and just learn our way through it, because there's no other way for us to get that job. We don't want to wait 15 years to have a resume and then go get a $3 million job. We wanted it right away, and we just didn't want to be denied. So we took that same approach into those franchises, which was great at the beginning. But without the systems that backed it up in Jacksonville, and without the oversight and the proper management and the invoice, I mean, just everything, we tried to filter it all through Jacksonville, and it just ended up being a cluster. And we learned so much from that. It was very unfortunate that a lot of those clients down there, great people that we ended up meeting, had to go through those things where it's like, hey, we're going to have to walk away, or, you know, they didn't even want us to finish. That's what kills me the most, is like when we get into a job that I know that we can be better and we are better than anybody else out there, but we just fumbled that process so bad that they just say, look, you got to leave. It bothers me, because I'm like, look, I'll come in and work for free. I'll bring our team down. No, you got to go. And it's just, those are the ones that I wish, out of all the things that we do well, I only focus on our failures, because at the end of the day, you focus on your failures, you're eventually going to have so few of them that you're going to feel good about yourself. You're going to be profitable. Your businesses are going to be thriving. People are scared of failure. I love it. My dad tells me all the time, he's like, you are probably too fearful. Like, you need fear. You don't have any. You fail all the time. Like, he's like, where I'm the opposite. My dad, you know, I'm the opposite. I won't take none of those chances you take. But the stuff that you learn, because you just are so willing to just fail, try to learn from it and go and be better on the next time, because you know you won't fail twice. He's like, I commend you for that. I mean, that's probably that young attitude, you know what I mean, where you just think you can tackle the world. Go after it. Why not?
Ignorance is bliss, whether you're just jumping on a plane to Bora Bora and gotta go crackers once in a while. But you learn, you figure that out, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I know you're a busy guy, and I know you need to get to another appointment. So a couple things to close out. Number one is, what's next for Direct Movement, and from what you've learned and where you're going? And then if there's one thing for this, is for contractors and their affiliates to grow their business, what's that one thing you want to leave us chomping for more? And we'll have all this information to get in touch with you on the show notes. And we're honored to have you as a member of the tribe here on the
other. I appreciate that. I'd say the next phase for Direct Movement right now is, we're really scaling back. We went and got too big too soon. I was a big advocate for just, hey, you know, I want to be a $10 million company. I want to be a $50 million. Well, if you're not making money, why does it matter? Do not get caught up in the big sales numbers. Those are great at the end of the day. And, you know, by golly, great for all the big companies that can do the 50 and 100 million and all that other stuff. But I would challenge them that they're not going to make as much money as they did if they scale back and do 2 to 3 or 5 to 6. There is power in being small and efficient than being large and inefficient. And that's where we were. But we are in an operation of a scale back mode, trimming it down, really keeping it to, you know, just a few people inside and enough outside, where we can handle that $2 to $3 million range, and then really starting to look at other services. It's unfortunate that we have to always kind of ever evolve and change, but in our industry, as you know, HGTV and DIY, if you watch two episodes of something, you're an expert. So, you know, they immediately can tell us how to do our job, which becomes very tough. So, you know, the thing that I've found that is now very popular amongst a lot of the people that I talk with is, you know, I have a pre-qualification that I do on the phone before we do anything. I pre-qualify you just like a mortgage lender does, and I go through my steps. And so just running through that quickly, I'll say, hey, you know, what's your address? I pull your address up, and if I see you live in a $200,000 home, okay, I've already got a price range in my mind what you're going to be spending. You live in a $1.2 million home, you're already pre-qualified with me. I don't care how you got it. I don't care if you are in debt. I'm going out there next day, and I'm walking the site. If you're in a $200,000 home, I've got to then say, okay, what is it that you want? Tell me exactly what you want in your house. Why do you want that in your house? How long are you going to be in your house? And kind of go through that process. And then at the end of the day, they're like, yeah, I want to do all these things. And I'm like, okay, well, what's the budget? Well, I'm not going to tell you that. Okay, I get very passionate about when people don't want to tell me about a budget. I'm like, it shows that you're very ignorant to the total process of what you're going into. If you're going to take that same mindset into your family's livelihood, like, hey, what do you want to spend on your kids' clothes this month? I don't know. Let's just go in and spend it. No, you'd be broke in a second. I mean, you have to have a budget in every aspect of your life. So why would you not want to have one in a construction project that you might not know what it's going to cost? That's okay. You don't need to know. That's my job. But I don't know what you make every month, and I don't know what's in your Wells Fargo account. If I did, I would set your budget. I would say, okay, well, I don't know what your expenses are, but you've got $30,000 it looks like in play. You want to redo your bathroom and do some flooring? No problem. But when you tell me you've got $30,000 and you want to remodel your entire house, that doesn't work. So we've got to figure those things out. So spending time on the phone has been a big, big thing for me. I absolutely love it. It allows me to get to know them, again, build that relationship. And then, again, I'm building trust inside of them. They now feel that they can trust me. So through that, I've had people that say, you know what, my cousin's a contractor. I watched 3 episodes of Chip and Joanna Gaines. I'm going to just start flipping houses now. It's easy. I know you guys make so much money. I'm quitting my my big job. I'm like, okay, well, we offer a construction concierge service. And all that is as a homeowner, you can pull a permit 3 times a year on your own personal property. So you can act as your own contractor. If you want to do that, then what I can do is just help you facilitate that as a management fee. And we can flat rate, almost like a lawyer. You retain me. I speak to your other staff. I come on back. I say, hey, here's the option. That's all I'm doing. I'm working on retaining. And that's actually been very, very profitable for us. I mean, people will pay that. They want to do their own stuff. But the best thing about that whole process is that I immediately gain a client there on out. Now, I have not had one person that goes through that process that says, dude, I don't know how y'all do it. There is no way I want to be a contractor. It immediately clears the air. They don't think they know anything anymore. It's like, wow, okay, yes, there is value in a contractor. I now see it. So
awesome. And there's so many lessons as being a contractor, what you said there. And that's what we love here on The Art of Construction is telling the real story. You know, you got to be careful about, you know, either you're growing or dying. So you always want to be growing, but you also don't want to die while you're trying to grow. And 2 things we don't have enough of, time and money. So when you're talking about the phone, it's because you don't want to be out being a quoter and out being a bidder, getting kicked around. Like, mm-hmm. Life's too short. Have fun. And how do you do that? You build relationships. So I couldn't agree more. And I love being the facilitator and being that disruptor sometimes, and sometimes being that micro influencer. It's all about you to grow your business. And when I hear you, you're like, you were all about just growing to grow when you mm-hmm. learn by doing. But now that you're like, I want to grow to be profitable because that's going to make me and my tribe and everybody I facilitate with have a better experience, right? Mm-hmm. And that's passionately, none of us want to, you know, it's a marathon, not a sprint, whether it's a remodel or a new construction project. Every one of them is a different race. But you don't want to get kicked out of the race or not finish the race, right?
Amen.
You don't know what you don't know. And homeowners, this is such a big deal that they go through. Take the time to help them on the journey. And I love your analysis of, you know, we look like an attorney. We can work like this because you got to be relatable. Because what mm-hmm. we do is such a moving target that The Art of Construction is not HGTV, flip this house. That's what the consumer brand knows. So mm-hmm. it's our job to educate that. So mm-hmm. I commend you. Thanks for taking the time and coming and telling us your story. Crush it out there at your meeting today, and let's stay in touch. And, you know, can't wait for you to share it with all your tribe and,
sure.
and be a great resource for us all. So thanks for coming and telling us your story, man.
Man, I appreciate you guys for having me. It's been a pleasure. I always enjoy these talks. Anytime you can have like-minded guys being on the same page and sharing trade secrets is always a pleasure. So thank you for having me.
Cool. Cheers, man.
Yes, sir.